It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
A rampant item in the news headlines late last week was David Seymour's promise to cut costs but revamping the Kaoro Kaoko Healthy School Lunch Program. He claimed that by changing it to larger providers, $1.5 million would be saved. Now the school year has officially kicked back off. The lunches have been put into action. But last week, hundreds of students in Auckland were left hungry when their lunches arrived hours late. Teachers pitched in their own money to feed the children in hopes for a better outcome after voicing their complaints. The next day, the industrial kitchens and lunches were cooked and experienced technical issues, delaying the lunches delivery until after lunchtime once again. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to Simon Court about these issues. I also asked him about the first oral submissions on the Treaty Principles Bill, which began last week, as well as comments made by Shane Jones and Winston Peters attacking migrant MPs. The government's reboot of the Kaoro Kaoko School Lunch Program was launched last week. In its first few days, there have been multiple issues with the delivery of the lunches. On behalf of the ACT Party, do you think it's acceptable that lunches were delivered to students hours late, multiple days in a row?
Well, the School Lunch Collective is holding itself to account for the problems that some schools experienced in those first few days of the new term. But I think it's important to recognise this is a major program delivering 242,000 hot meals on time and the right temperature to schools every day. And the majority of those meals have been delivered on time and the right temperature at the first attempt. Look, these processes are only going to get better, and I would expect the collective to work with principals to do that and iron out any of these teething issues.
Some schools had to use their own money to fund lunches for students due to delayed deliveries and now say they deserve compensation. Will this be considered?
I'm not over that request, but the program is going to realise $130 million in annual savings over what the previous government had budgeted while delivering more meals to more kids. So, yeah, while I appreciate that some schools have had some disruption in the first few days, this is only going to get better, and it's delivering hot food to 242,000 kids every day.
Speaking to the meals themselves, students themselves have concerns over the food, calling it bland and like prison food. Do you think the food is up to standard?
Well, it doesn't really matter where you eat, and particularly if you're eating with kids, whether it would be a Michelin star restaurant or at your nan's house, there'll always be varying opinions on the quality of the food served. And that's completely normal, but I do know that the School Lunch Collective are committed to continuous improvement and ensuring that the quality of meals does continue to improve. But, we don't expect these meals to be the best students have ever eaten, but if the majority of them say, hey, these are pretty good and I'm looking forward to lunch today, I think that would be a good result.
Students also had concerns over the size of the food, with a 5-year-old receiving the same portion as a 12-year-old. How was this satisfactory?
Well, this is the first few days of a program rolling out lunches to 242,000 children, so I'm sure the School Lunch Collective will be focused on improving the quality and making sure that kids do get the right amount of calories in their food.
On to our second topic. The first oral submissions of the Treaty Principles Bill were heard in Parliament last week. Comments about the bill heard in these submissions included that it was flawed in both process and substance, it desecrates Te Tiriti and is an attempt by this coalition to rewrite Te Tiriti in favour of itself in order to retain power and control. So what does the ACT Party make of the oral submissions so far?
A range of submissions, including some of the views you've shared, but what's so fantastic is that despite all of these people protesting and trying to shut the bill down and saying we shouldn't be allowed to have the conversation, hundreds of thousands of people have submitted, and lots of those people who said we shouldn't be allowed to have the conversation have actually turned up to give oral submissions. That's a really, really positive outcome, and I think it does show that Kiwis can be trusted to have difficult discussions. And in a modern multi-ethnic society like New Zealand, we are going to have to continually revisit and recommit to equal rights before the law, and I'm proud to be a Member of Parliament representing ACT while ACT leads this debate.
Notably, no closed captions or sign language interpreters were provided during the submissions, making many in the deaf community feel excluded from the readings. What does the ACT Party say to this?
Well, that's a really interesting comment and not one I've heard before. I've sat on select committees for 4 years, including on the Three Waters legislation and all kinds of other bills that have had tens of thousands of submissions, and I've never heard that complaint before, but also I'm not aware of those type of services being provided for select committee oral submissions. They certainly are provided for Parliament's broadcast, but that's probably something that we need to take up with parliamentary services who organise all of that.
On to our final topic, MPs were debating the Prime Minister's statement on Tuesday when Shane Jones yelled, "Send the Mexicans home," across the floor. Winston Peters then told Green MPs Lawrence Shunan and Francisco Hernandez to show some gratitude for being in New Zealand. What did the ACT Party make of these comments?
Well, Parliament's a pretty robust debating chamber. We do have what's called parliamentary privilege, so people can say things without fear of being sued, for example. But that's certainly not something I would have said, and I don't think it's helpful at all to focus on people's identity. The ACT Party here is here to focus on ideas and policy. But, you know, this is selective outrage. And if I just think about the very same day, Karen Shaw, ACT Minister for Children, has received a lot of personal ad hominem attacks by members of Te Pāti Māori, such as she doesn't understand the essence of being Māori and has a gap in her knowledge. And somehow, you know, the inference is that in order to be a real Māori, Karen needs to have the same views as Te Pāti Māori's MPs. Those people are obsessed with race, and that comes up again and again in their comments, in their interjections, and also just in the way that they treat other members of Parliament and ministers. So I don't think it's helpful to focus on identity, to focus on a person's origin or race. We all need to see each other as individuals with the same inherent rights and dignity. That's how ACT wants to approach solving some of New Zealand's difficult problems. And yeah, we think that hopefully we can be examples to other members of Parliament in that regard.
Should there be discipline for comments like this in the House?
Well, I think the discipline is at the ballot box. If voters don't believe that people are representing them in a way that is respectful, in a way they want to be represented, they can vote them out.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the revamped school lunch program, oral submissions on the Treaty Principles Bill, and racist comments made by Shane Jones and Winston Peters.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.